Thank you, Daisy, for reminding us that we should be thankful for the things that the Lord has given us, but also, did you hear, for the trials that come our way. Are you thankful for trials? Our three amens. I wanted to share something with you that has nothing to do with what I'm going to speak about this morning. But I thought I'd share this with you. Because the majority of the churches in North America enjoy really a wonderful attendance at the divine worship. But our Sabbath school, Sabbath morning, is lacking. And I just want you to know that worship, or at least for all of us, should begin or should have begun last evening around 4:40 as we gathered with our family and got together and started the Sabbath day. This morning, all we're doing is what? Continuing the Sabbath worship service. Seven reasons why it's good to attend Sabbath school. First one. You have an opportunity for meaningful scriptural dialogue. Here is the time where you could raise your hands and talk. And, you know, right now, none of you could raise your hands. Well, yes, you can. Two, an opportunity to ask questions and share insights from your own study of the scripture. You know, we study during the week. We read the scriptures and we read the lesson. And this is the opportunity when you could share some of the insights that you have received. It's a good thing. Three, it's an insight in making scripture practical for everyday living. And so, yeah, Moses did this so many years ago. How does that apply to me today? 2009, November 21st. How do we apply that? And it's a good way to apply those things. Number four, preparation of the heart and mind to receive the blessings of divine worship. You know, as we come to Sabbath school, we are getting prepared for the continuation of worship where we are right now as a church family. It prepares our hearts. It prepares our minds. Five, it's an opportunity to fellowship with other believers and share experiences that will strengthen your walk with the Lord. I don't know about you, but when we study together, when we're in a group, when we're asking questions, sharing our ideas, all that is strengthening our walk with the Lord. And where do you get that? Sabbath school, in a class. Six, you get a broader viewpoint of the worldwide work of the Adventist Church. Brothers and sisters, we're not the only ones. And Medford and Ashland and Central Point, we're not the only ones. It is a worldwide movement. And have you thought about the fact that when we're studying together, there are 16 million other Adventists that are studying together with us. Amen. We're not alone. We're not alone. The seventh point, why it's a good thing to attend a Sabbath school. You get a richer, more meaningful experience with the Lord Jesus Christ in an environment that is concentrated to the study of the Word of God. This week, we're going to be starting the lesson on the sin of Moses and Aaron. And the theme for the whole week is something that keeps repeating and repeating in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. And it is this: mercy and grace of God in contrast with the faithlessness, the sin, and the ingratitude of His people. You see that contrast on and off. They go and do this, and the Lord is merciful and graceful and says, I'll take you back. And they say, thank you. Oh, we'll love you. We'll do everything that you say now. He turns around and they're doing the same thing again. And the Lord turns around and comes back and takes us back. And so that's what the study is about this whole week. And you know, I think it's very important because we have a tendency of saying, oh yeah, the children of Israel, those bad people. I often find myself sometimes in that same pattern. We will do whatever we say, you have asked us, O Lord. And the Lord turns around and where do we go? And so, please, study your lesson. It's a good thing. Please attend Sabbath school in the morning. It's a good thing. It can't hurt you. It would only strengthen our walk with the Lord. Open your Bibles. Deuteronomy 26. If you brought a Bible, you brought it. And if you didn't, you should have one right in front of you there in the pews. Deuteronomy 26. And I'm going to start reading verse 1. Okay, Deuteronomy 26, verse 1. And it shall be when you come into the land which your Lord God has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days, and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, My father was a Syrian, about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number. And there he became a great nation, great, mighty, and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, with great terror, and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place, and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God, and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite, and the stranger who is among you. When we celebrate Thanksgiving, our first thoughts go to, you know, the eastern shore where the pilgrims first celebrated what we have come to regard as the first Thanksgiving. But as we just read in Scripture, the first Thanksgiving did not happen in that shore. The first Thanksgiving happened in Deuteronomy. The children of Israel celebrated the first Thanksgiving, the Israelites. Why were they celebrating? Because they were going into the what? The promised land. They were happy. They were celebrating. God had told them that they could come into this land that was flowing milk and honey. He told them that they were to take the first fruits from the ground, place them inside of a basket, and take it to the priest. And when they got to the priest would take that basket, set it on the ground, and they would begin their speech with the words we just read, Deuteronomy 26:5. They're standing in front of the priest and they were to say, "My ancestors were Arameans. There were only a few of them when they went into Egypt and lived as foreigners. But then they became a great and powerful and large nation." Why were the Israelites to be thankful? Because God had blessed them. For the Israelites, the action, in other words, their thanksgiving was seen in the action that God had delivered them from Egypt and brought them into a land that was flowing with milk and honey. Now the pilgrims also were giving thanks for the deliverance that God had given them. Have you ever thought about that? God did deliver them. Delivered them from what? Where? Well, they were delivered from hunger. How? Well, God gave them a tremendous crop that summer that they were able to use through the winter. God delivered them from war. Why? Because they were able to live peacefully with the Indians. God delivered them from the cold because they were able to build strong, sturdy buildings. Deliverance then brought thanksgiving into their hearts. And how about us? Could we think of anything that the Lord has delivered us from that we could in turn be thankful to the Lord? We usually think, and it's okay to think this way, we usually think about Thanksgiving where we could come and just share all our blessings that the Lord has given us. And it's a good thing to do. But have you ever thought about those things that you have been delivered from, which should in turn create a thankful heart in you? Let me just share an illustration to maybe clarify my point a little bit more. There was a man who lived with his six children in the suburbs of Philadelphia. Six children. And just before school started, wouldn't you know it, all six children needed shoes. At the same time, the washing machine broke. And to top it off, this man was a carpenter, and because of the weather, that it was, you know, it was bad weather, so he didn't have really very much work. It had almost dwindled to nothing. So could you imagine the predicament of this gentleman? No work, washing machine out, needed six pairs of shoes for his children. So he started to work. Somehow he was able to scrap off enough money to buy the shoes, but then he didn't have enough money to buy another washing machine. He put an ad in the paper that said, "Well, I need an old used washing machine. Does anyone have one?" A day later, the phone rang. He answered, and it was someone that had a machine that they were willing to sell. He goes to the house. And when he enters the house, he looks inside and he's like, these people have everything I would wish I could give my children. And so the gentleman and the wife take him to another room where the washing machine was. There they are. They look at it. And all of a sudden the conversation turns to children. And Claude, that was a gentleman's name, Claude begins complaining about the fact that it was so expensive to raise six children. And maybe some of you could relate. It's expensive to raise one child and two. But he had six. And then he says, especially when they all need his shoes. At this time, the woman, the lady of the home, ran out of the room crying. And Claude didn't know what was going on. And the gentleman had to explain to him. He said that they had only had one child. And that child, when he was born paralyzed from birth. And from birth, he had never needed a pair of shoes. And so when Claude got home, he went and picked up all those shoes. All those shoes that was, they were worn out from skipping rope, from kicking rocks, from jumping into puddles. And he went off to be by himself and the Lord. He knelt down by his bed and he thanked the Lord. He thanked God for the worn out shoes. Those worn out shoes that from skipping rope, from jumping, even if they're worn out from dragging them. He thanked the Lord because God had delivered him. He had granted his children some things that we sometimes take for granted. These children could run. They could skip. They could jump into puddles. They could wear out shoes. Claude had been delivered from the pain that others feel that they cannot watch their son be able to run or be able to kick a rock, be able to jump rope. Have you ever been thankful for the deliverance that God has brought into your life? Think about all the food that we're going to eat this Thanksgiving holiday. And in all honesty, sometimes we do eat more than what we should. I speak from experience. Aren't you thankful that we have been delivered from the pain of hunger? I mean, I've been hungry before, but I haven't been hungry where, you know, your stomach is hurting. And you know, even if we were, we in the back of our mind, we still had, oh, well, when mom gets home, she could fix something. Or I could go to the store and buy something. Or I could go to the neighbor and ask for something. You know, there is always a way. But there are people out there that their stomachs are hurting. They're in pain of hunger. And they have no hope of getting any food, period. And we have been delivered from that. There are countless people, children, men, women, today, as you and I are worshiping, and we have been invited to have a nice fellowship meal, but today there are countless men, women, and children that are dying a slow, painful death because they have no food. I drive by a farm here when I go home, and we're driving with our family from worship, and we looked, and they had the sign. I think it said pumpkin chucking. I figured, what in the world is that? And so we were driving, and then off at the field, they had these huge catapults. And I go, what in the world? And I sort of, you know, put two and two together. They get these big, massive pumpkins on one end, and then they just let it go. And it's so fun to see them explode. Everybody claps, and let's do it again. You know, I don't want to judge or anything like that. It's okay. We live in the land of plenty. But, you know, I was thinking, how many people in the world would love to get their hands on one of those pumpkins and just be able to eat one of those? We live in the land of plenty. And sometimes we do not thank the Lord for that. We take it for granted. Housewife is doing housework. And she's at the kitchen. And you know, ladies, when you get at the kitchen, you're tired. Maybe you just have come from work or you have been there and you're tired, and yet the dishes are piled up. She looked at those pile of dishes, and yet she turned it around and thanked the Lord for delivering her. How's that? Well, listen to her thoughts as she cleans around. She's there and she says, Lord, thank you for these pile of dirty dishes, because at one point, all these dishes had some good food that we could eat. So she finishes cleaning those. Then she goes to the utility room. Utility room has piles of clothes that have to be washed. And she looks at that and she says, thank you, Lord, for the pile of dirty clothes. Why? Because you have supplied for us nice clothes that I and my children could wear. So she gets done with that, throws a load in the washer, another one in the dryer, and goes to the bedrooms, opens the door. Wouldn't you know it, children didn't make the bed again. And she's looking at those unmade beds, and she says, thank you, Lord, for the unmade beds. They were very comfortable last night, and we were able to get a good night's sleep on them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In the midst of her work, she was thankful, because in her heart, she was delivered from hunger. In her heart, she was delivered from the extremes of the cold. In her heart, she was delivered from a cold, sleepless night somewhere under a bridge or something. She was thankful that she had that. You know, I was just thinking about the fact that, what about if it was raining and you had a roof, your leak, let's try that again. Your roof was leaking. You know, I was thinking, how many people would say, thank you, Lord, that at least I have an opportunity that my roof leaks. There are some people that don't have a roof that leaks. There are some people that don't have a roof, period. And yet, we do. He has delivered us from all those things. And sometimes we realize that, or we think that everything in life, all those things that we have, kind of like they are owed to us. We deserve them. We work hard enough. We're not out there stealing them. We go and work, and we deserve those things. You know what? We have those things because the Lord wants us to have them. You have those things, and I have those things because the Lord has blessed each one of us abundantly. And we should be thankful for that. A famous theologian wrote this paragraph. He says this: the reason most of us do not respond to thank you or do not say thank you is because we instinctively realize that it makes us somehow dependent on another person. And you know, sometimes we're very, how should I put it? We have pride. We're very, we're full of pride. And we can't go up to the brother or the sister and ask for help. Why? Because I could do it myself. I'm not going to ask for help. And so he continues, if I thank you, I am saying that I am dependent on you, and I am publicly affirming it before God and people. Gratitude is an action that has its roots in grace, the free, undeserved love action of God. When we are truly grateful, we become starkly aware that we are wholly dependent for everything upon God and upon our fellow human beings who are made in His image. When we are truly grateful, we recognize that God has favored us whether we deserve favoring or not. Thanksgiving is our acknowledgement to God that we depend on Him for everything that we have. We depend on Him for all the acts of deliverance and blessings that He has given to us every day. We are dependent on Him. So Thanksgiving has sort of like a twofold meaning for us. We are thankful for being delivered, and we are thankful for all the blessings that we have. And you know what? Our thanksgiving to God is an action that is commanded by God. Did you get that? It's something that God commanded us to do. In the text that we read, Deuteronomy, the people were to take the first fruits. They were to put those fruits in a basket. They were to take that basket to the whom? To the priest. There was some action involved in being thankful. A physical response to being thankful. There was something that we had to do in our part. I hope you understand that thankfulness should not just be because there's a day, the last Thursday in November, that the government has established to give thanks. We as Christians, Seventh-day Adventists, should be thankful every day of our life. Every day. Don't just wait for November to be thankful. We should live in an attitude of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a daily attitude of gratefulness to God for what He has done for us. And I believe that we as Adventists should be truly grateful people. I want to close with this poem that I have here. Don't know who wrote it, but I think it's a nice poem that has to do with Thanksgiving. Today upon a bus I saw a lovely girl with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so young. I wish I were half so young. I wish I were one half as fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one leg. She used a crutch. And as she passed, she flashed a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have two legs. The world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who sold them had such charm. I talked with him. He seemed so glad. If I were late, I would do no harm. And as I left, he said to me, I thank you. You have been so kind. You see, he added, I am blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I am blessed indeed. The world is mine. We are a blessed people. And I know that some of you might be going through hard times right now financially. Some of you might be going through hard times physically. But people, you are blessed. You are blessed by a loving God. We are blessed by a loving God that has delivered us from many, many things. And I believe that we all should be thankful for that. In front of you, there are some chorus books. In that chorus book, we're going to be closing our service with number 63. And we're going to sing it twice. Number 63, I think, has a good message for this Sabbath morning. Yes, please.
Let's stand and sing this.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks, give thanks.
The weak say, I am strong. And let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for each one of us. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we want to thank You for Your deliverance. You have done so many things for us. And You continue to do so many things for us. Father, when we get to heaven, we will fall down again on our knees when we realize all the things that You were doing for us, that we did not realize here on earth. And so this morning, we just want to thank you for your deliverance. We want to thank you for Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for what he did for us on that cross. We want to thank you for his promise that where he is, he wants us to be there also. We want to thank you for the fact that it is not us that's going to get ourselves into heaven, but it's by the grace of Jesus, by the grace of God. It's not what we do, but what you have done for us. So, Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for our homes. Thank you for our cars. Thank you for things that we have. Thank you for the abundance that we have. Thank you for all that you give to us. Help us always to have a thankful heart. Pray that you may be with us during this coming week as we meet with family, as we meet with friends, that we may truly have an attitude of thanksgiving, not only until then, but throughout the rest of our lives. Thank you. Be with us during the rest of the Sabbath day. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.